Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us today. I am Pastor James Murdoch, and so thankful for each one that's here. If you are visiting us for the first time today, joining us in worship, we've got a connection card in your pew there. If you would want to fill that out, you can put in prayer request or contact info or just a way for us to follow up with you and encourage you in your relationship with Christ. And we just want to get to know you, too. So if you want to fill that out, that'd be great. And there's wooden boxes at the exit. You can drop that in there, and that'd be wonderful. So thank you so much. I want to wish all of our moms in person and online a happy Mother's Day today. I am so, so thankful for my mom. I would just be remiss if I didn't say that, you know, all glory to God for any goodness in my life, but God has used my mom, and God has used your moms, and God has used you moms to help your children and your grandchildren, and I want to thank my mom. I wouldn't be who I am, at least the good parts, the bad parts, all on me, but the good parts of who I am, I wouldn't be without my mom, who prays for me still. And just her influence in my life has been fantastic. I'm so grateful for her. So I want to thank my mom this morning. I think she's watching online. And let me pray for us as we get ready to get into the Word. We're going to land in 1 Samuel. Whether you're here joining us in the sanctuary or online, I want to encourage you, please open your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple of other scriptures too, but we're going to really focus on 1 Samuel 1 this morning. So let's pray as we get into the Word. Well, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, this morning for your invitation to draw near to you, to worship you, to open up your Word so that your Spirit can speak to us, God. And Lord, we pray for each of us, including me, Lord, for the measure of faith needed for your Word to come alive for us today, for us to see the incredible worth of Jesus Christ, Lord, for us to see as your church, who you want us to be and to grow and who you want us to be. God, increase our faith as we listen to your Word and engage with your Word today, God. We pray most of all that you'd be glorified as we share your Word, Lord, that you'd be glorified not only in the preaching, God, but you'd be glorified in our lives, that you would touch us in a way that helps us to lift up the name of Jesus in our lives and be changed by it. Lord, encourage us. I know there are many whose hearts in different ways, Lord, need to be encouraged today. So, Lord, we ask for that. We trust you for that. We believe you for that. And we're going to praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to start out here in a few minutes in verse number 9. And I've titled the message today, Blessed is the Woman Who Trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the woman who trusts in the Lord. This goes for guys too, but guys, we're speaking a little bit more to moms maybe today. So, that's the title I went with. You're going to hear me bring up moms a few times, I think, during the message today. Well, my wife, who is a mom, the mom of our kids, my wife and I have a new dog, and our new dog is not new to planet Earth. He's actually 12 years old. He's not a puppy by any means, but our new dog's name is Gus. And Gus is really cool. He's a cool old dog. He snores louder than I do. And his legs are like 2 inches tall, so when he goes out to the bathroom, you can't really tell if he actually like does anything or not, because he's always looks like he's sitting. He's so low to the ground. But Gus is a good dog, and we're so fortunate to give Gus a new home. We're glad to be able to look after him. And one of the cool things with Gus is that if we want to put him on a leash, we can, but we really don't have to. He'll just go out the front door, even though he's new to our home. He'll go out, do his thing. He'll walk around and sniff, and then he'll come back inside, and he's just such a good dog. If we take him for a walk, I'd probably put him on a leash. Just I don't want him to run out in front of traffic or something. But now I have to tell you, though, that all of our dogs have not been like Gus. We had another dog actually named Happy who was a lot like Gus, who was such a good dog. And Gus is kind of like if Happy had... which Happy was a boy, so it couldn't happen. But if Happy had had a puppy that was a midget, it would have been Gus, because Happy was a big white dog and Gus is a little white dog, but both the same disposition, so good and such a loving dog and so blessed. But we had another dog before that was kind of like the anti-Gus. We had a dog that I don't know this, but it wouldn't surprise me if this dog had maybe been raised by Satan before it became our dog, because this dog was evil. And it would hurt other dogs, I mean, just unprovoked, just because it wanted to. And this dog was named Bella. And Bella, we had to keep on a leash, and which was good, because if Bella had been allowed to roam freely, your dog's lives would have been in danger, because Bella was a danger to the world. It was just a really kind of crazy killer dog. But we kept Bella in the couple years we had her, and actually she got better as time went on. She did improve her behavior. We trained her, but we kept her on a leash. And we made sure we had a strong leash so that she couldn't break free and maybe hurt somebody else's dog. And she couldn't break the leash. We made sure we had a strong leash to keep her on. Luke 4:18 tells us that Jesus said that he came to set captives free. Jesus said that he came to set captives free. And specifically, Jesus was speaking of sin, but he's also talking about the effects of sin on us. That sin affects who we are and our choices. It affects our hearts. And so Jesus wants to set us free not only of the sin itself, but the impact of sin in our lives. Jesus wants to set us free. And some of you guys, maybe you feel this today and you don't even know it. But until we put our faith in Christ, the Bible says that we are walking in darkness, that our minds have darkened understanding, that our hearts are darkened and selfish, and that we're walking in the night and we can't see. And so we put our faith in Christ. Jesus wants to set us free to run to the light, to experience new life in Jesus Christ, and to experience life in Christ. Well, I want to tell you that in Christ, when we put our faith in Christ, even if you're a Bella, God makes you more like a Gus, that he changes you. Just like Brad was talking about earlier during the worship time there, that we're not suddenly perfect, we're not suddenly without any sin at all, but the more and more that we walk with the Lord in faith, he starts to free us up from the effect of sin and the power of sin, and we start to enjoy this freedom that he has said that we have. But until then, we're held hostage. We've got this leash on us that we're held captive to. You know, sometimes even as believers, even as we put our faith in Christ, it still seems like we've got a leash on us. We're not walking in freedom. We're not walking in the joy of the Lord. And sometimes it's just a matter of this working out of the grace of God in our lives. Sometimes we've got a leash of anger or resentment that the grace of God has not cleansed us of. Now, God wants to. God wants to not only forgive, but to set us free from bitterness and from prejudice and from resentment and from bad jealousy and these things in our lives that are an effect of sin. And God wants to deal with that. And I want to tell you that no matter how strong that seems to you, that may be a leash that you came into the Christian life with. Maybe it's a leash you've got today because you haven't put your faith in Christ yet. But God wants to set you free, and no matter how strong that leash is, he can break that. He can give you freedom. His grace and his power and the Holy Spirit is enough that he will set you free. If you ask him to free you of those hurts and those hang-ups and those effects of sin in your life, he will do that. But you have to put your faith in him to do it. It's not a matter of your power or your determination. You've got to put your trust in Jesus Christ to do that. You have to have faith, and you can ask him for that. He'll give you the gift of faith. Jesus wants you, when you put your trust in him and you experience salvation, Jesus wants you to walk in his joy. He wants you to walk in his peace and his love for God, his love for other people. And he will do that, and he will free you up from the things that prevent that, but you've got to put your faith in him. So I want to just ask you a pointed question today. Do you want to be free? Do you want to be free? Do you want to be free from sin in your life? First and foremost, that's what he came to deal with, right? Not just to make you happy, not just to bless, but to set you free from sin. Do you want to be free from sin and from selfishness and to walk in new life in Christ? Do you want that? And then do you want to have freedom to not be a Bella anymore, and to be a Gus, where God can trust you to walk in new freedom, to walk in new life. He can just turn you loose to experience his joy. And you're not going to always get it right, all right? Sometimes you're going to mess up, but he wants you to have this freedom. Do you want that today? If whether you're somebody who's never put your faith in Christ, maybe you're a believer, you say, you know, I've trusted in Christ, but I've still got this besetting whatever. This sin that I keep going back, it's got a hold on me. I've got this leash that's still there, and I don't want that to be broken. Well, I believe this message is for you today. You know, maybe you're somebody who said, you know, I have been set free of so much, but I still resent this thing that was done to me a long time ago. I've still got this hurt that happened. God can set you free today. And I believe this message is for you. In Luke 1, 45, just kind of a launching pad as we get into 1 Samuel today. We'll start here. In Luke 1, 45, it says, "You are blessed because you have believed that the Lord would do what he said." Guys, if you've not remembered this, I want to encourage you, memorize this scripture. This is so powerful and so true. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Now, this was spoken by a woman named Elizabeth, a mom on Mother's Day, right? She's pregnant when she says this. Elizabeth is pregnant, and she's speaking this to her cousin, Mary, who is also pregnant, who's going to be a mom. And Mary's response here is beautiful. As Elizabeth speaks this to her, she goes into this prayer, this song, and I'm not going to cover that today. I want you to encourage you to write this down. Maybe check this out later today. This is in Luke 1, 46 through 55. And Mary has this song that's inspired by another mom named Hannah. And this other woman was blessed also because she trusted the Lord. All that means is that you take God at his word. God said it, and I believe it. That's what it means. Mary, like Hannah, put her trust in the Lord. Hannah's song is in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And again, I encourage you to jot this down. Make a note of this. You can check this out later. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, it's this beautiful song, this prayer of Hannah. And both Mary and Hannah's songs, they start out with the same words. And they have some of the same meaning. They have this rejoicing in the Lord, rejoicing in God for his character, rejoicing in God for what he's done for her, rejoicing in God because of his holiness, rejoicing in God because of his love and his uniqueness, rejoicing in God because of his power and how he protects his people. And then amazingly, in this song of Hannah, and we're going to check out more about Hannah here in a minute, in the song of Hannah, she starts to prophetically speak about things that are in the future. This is 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. And Hannah starts to sing here in chapter 2, verse 6. She starts talking about the God who brings dead back to life. The God who brings the dead back to life. And then prophetically in verses 10 and 11, she sings of the power of the King who is the Messiah. She's speaking about Christ 2,000 years ahead of time in her own song of praise to the Lord here. So here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting in verse 9, we're just going to see a glimpse of this woman today, this woman Hannah, who believed God, who trusted in God. I just want to give you a little background because we don't have a lot of time to cover this woman's story here, but Hannah was a wife of a man named Elkanah. She was the first wife. There was also a second wife. And the reason for that probably is that Hannah was unable to bear children for a long time. And that was a big deal in that culture. And so Elkanah had married this second wife, Peninnah. And she started having kids right and left. She's having a lot of children. And Hannah's womb is still barren for a while. And it becomes a source of jealousy. It becomes a source of contention. And anytime you see polygamy in the Bible, you see this over and over again, there's always jealousy. There's always some bad feelings here. And Peninnah is downright mean to Hannah. She flaunts this, that she's got all these kids and Hannah doesn't. Well, Elkanah reminds Hannah that he loves her anyway. But she's still brokenhearted. She's got this angst in her heart thinking, why I'm trusting God, why doesn't he bless me? Why can't I have kids for my husband? Why is this other woman who's not honoring God with her attitude? Why has she got all these kids? And she wonders, you know, where is God? And her heart's breaking. And this other woman keeps taunting her, and this bitterness is growing in her. Well, Hannah has a lot to teach us about trusting the Lord today. We're going to see that. Whether you're a mom or not, I want to encourage you. Let the Word of God speak to you today. Amen. Amen. Starting in verse 9. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. So he's sitting in this place of authority, this place of honor. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, he will never have his hair cut. Sounds a lot like Samson. Some of you guys know the Nazarite vow that some people took where they wouldn't cut their hair, although that was usually for a number of years, for a season. This is different. She's saying for all of his life, dedicated to the Lord. Verse 12, as she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound, he thought, she's been drinking. Must you come here drunk? He demanded. Throw away your wine. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I'm very discouraged. I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. Guys, the first big idea I want us to see here today from Hannah and to learn from her today is that trusting God means pouring out your heart to Him. Trusting God means pouring out your heart to Him. We see that there in verse 15. In verse 15, Hannah tells Eli, she says, I'm not drunk. Rather, I'm pouring out my heart to the Lord. In the Hebrew here, the literal meaning of what she's saying, my spirit is in pain. I am broken, and I'm crying out in anguish to God today. And I want to encourage you that wherever you are, that whether this is today or is going to be sometime soon in your life, God invites us to be real with Him. He already knows the pain, but He invites us to come before Him and say, God, I am struggling today. I feel shackled by whatever this thing is. And maybe it's sin in my life. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's some resentment or disappointment. But God invites us to come and be honest with Him in our prayers. Don't sugarcoat it. Pouring out your heart to God. You know, guys, I've said it many times, and I'll say it again. God can do incredible things in your life with honesty. If you'll just be honest with Him, right? Speak honesty to the Lord. You don't have to, and it's not like He doesn't know. It's not like, you know, He's going to say, wow, I didn't realize you had it so bad. Well, of course I'll help. No, He already knows. He already knows. But see, God is like a parent. He describes Himself as a father. And so just like a good father, He says, listen, we're in relationship. And I want you to come to me and speak to me and share your heart with me. That's what God invites us to do. You know, I think that until you've come to this place of desperation with God where you're willing to just cry out to Him, I mean, there's a real prayer there that I've seen God come through in my life. When I've spoken truth to Him and spoken truth to Him and spoken truth to Him from my head and I meant it, but until I got on my knees and let the tears flow and just cried out to God, there's something different that happens there. God invites us to pour out our soul, to pour out your soul to Him in your pain. And I've seen Him do miracles in my life when I've done that. You know, if God can open a barren womb and give a child, He can minister. Whatever the thing is today that's got you on a leash, that's got you chained, He can set you free today. He can do a miracle for you. Make it your first choice to run to God and to pour out your heart to Him, whatever's going on. I want to share a short poem with you guys this morning. Ruth Bell Graham, Billy Graham's wife, in a book that she wrote, shared this poem. She actually wrote this poem. The book is Clouds Are the Dust of His Feet. I think that's an amazing title. Clouds Are the Dust of His Feet. And she said this prayer, this poem about a praying mother, pouring out her heart, kind of like Hannah. A mother's prayer to God. She said, "Listen, Lord." A mother's praying, low and quiet. "Listen, please. Listen what her tears are saying. See her heart upon its knees. Lift the load from her bowed shoulders till she sees and understands you, who holds the world together. You hold her problems in your hands." Guys, pour out your heart that way. In your prayers, pour out your heart to God. And then verse 17. "In that case, Eli said, 'Go in peace. Go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked him.' 'Oh, thank you, sir,' she exclaimed. And then she went back and she began to eat again, and she was no longer sad." She's no longer sad. And that's the second big idea, guys, that we need to learn this morning, is that trusting God means taking heart that God hears you. God hears you. Note this conversation between Eli and Hannah this morning. Eli realizes that Hannah's not drunk, right? She was praying. She was in such pain, such a brokenness that she couldn't even get the words out. She's just forming it with her lips. But he realizes she's not drunk, and he responds, and he's speaking as God's representative here, right? As the prophet and priest, he's saying, "Go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him." And then Hannah replies, "Thank you, sir." Some translations, the way they word this, she says, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." She's expressing trust. She's expressing humility. She's expressing thankfulness. She's believing that her prayer is answered. She's believing God. She believes that God has heard her prayers, and she's going to get the answer to that. And she is, this thing that was burdening her, she has let it go. She's giving it to God now. She's not going to carry it with her. She's received this peace that passes understanding that the Bible talks about. Guys, I understand that sometimes that's tough. That you have prayed things. I've had this happen in my life, where you have prayed for something and you thought, you know what, I prayed for this and I cried out to God, but I didn't see an answer to it. So it's hard for me to believe when I pray again that God is going to answer that. Is he really going to do it? Is he really going to answer my prayer? And that can be challenging, but I want to tell you, based on what God says in his word, that God answers every prayer. God answers every prayer prayed to him according to his will, that you pray in faith, that he answers every prayer. But he may not answer the way that you want. He may not answer it in the way that you're asking, but he still answers it. You know, I've heard it said by some people that God always answers prayer in one of three ways. Either it's yes, or it's no, or it's wait. I've also heard said that God answers prayer in three ways. It's yes, or no, or what were you thinking asking me that? I'm probably in that category often with the Lord, right? I ask a lot of stupid, selfish things sometimes, probably. I think a better understanding came from Pastor Erwin Lutzer. Pastor Lutzer said that God answers prayer in one of four ways. That he answers prayer delivered. You prayed for that. That's according to my will. That's according to my character. That's according to my timing. You got it. And he gives you exactly what you prayed for. It's delivered, or sometimes it's denied. He's got something different for you. Or maybe the situation isn't what it needs to be. Or maybe you need to come to a place that he wants you to come to in your character before he answers that. Sometimes he denies it. Sometimes he answers in a way that's disguised. You don't have the understanding to see his answer yet. But 5 years later, you're going to look back and say, "God, thank you for the way you answered that prayer. I didn't get it at the time, but I get it now." Sometimes it's delivered, sometimes it's denied, sometimes it is disguised, and sometimes it's just delayed. Many times I've seen this in my life, where I prayed for something, but God is orchestrating events. There's things in my life, 10 years of prayer, and then boom, there's the answer. 20 years of prayer, crying out to God, and there's the answer. Better than what I was praying for, but I had to wait. I had to wait on his timing. Well, Hannah could get up, from her prayer and go and eat and no longer be sad anymore because she had no doubt God hears my prayers. The God that I'm praying to, He hears my prayers, He answers my prayers. And when she gets up and this sadness is gone, this bitterness is gone, and she gets up with joy in her heart, it's because she believes God. Her situation at this point, she doesn't have a kid yet. She doesn't know that this lady's going to stop taunting her for not having children, which she does yet. She doesn't know. The thing that's changed here is Hannah. Hannah has changed in her prayer. She's poured out her heart to God and then taken this next step of believing God hears me. And she is changed by that. Guys, we step out in faith when we pray and we believe God. We take Him at His word. And then next, in verse 19, the entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. The next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord and to keep His vow. But Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, wait until the boy is weaned, probably a few years in that culture. Then I will take him to the tabernacle and I will leave him there with the Lord permanently. Whatever you think best, Elkanah agreed. Stay here for now, and may the Lord help you to keep your promise. So she stayed home and nursed the boy until he was weaned. Verse 24. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. She brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. Sir, do you remember me? Hannah asked. I'm the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me a boy, and He has granted my request. Now I'm giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worship the Lord there. I believe even Samuel, the family, all of them, they worship the Lord together. Guys, our third big idea to learn from Hannah's story this morning is that trusting the Lord means entrusting to Him what He's given to you. Giving back to Him what He's given to you. You've got to entrust the Lord what He's given to you. And we see this in verse 11. We also see this in verse 28. Hannah's made a vow. And she's keeping that vow. She's entrusting her son to the Lord. Back in verse 11, she'd made this promise. She's keeping it here in verse 28. It's kind of a strange twist on a Mother's Day sermon. She's prayed for this blessing. She's prayed to receive this boy, and she's given him back to the Lord. Her son has been weaned, and now for the rest of his life, he's going to be in full-time service to God. It's probably out of power, guys. It's okay. Yeah, no worries. That's okay. You know, maybe that sounds strange to you, giving things back to the Lord. You know, there are times that in my life where I've prayed for something, and God has granted that. He's answered that prayer and given me that thing, whatever that is. And I lay hold of that and say, thank you, Lord, that's mine. You know, I'm going to hold on to that for dear life. But we see with Hannah that she's got open hands with this boy, right? She's got, and that's what God wants for all of us. We see this in Scripture that we need to entrust the Lord with everything. We need to have open hands with God. You know, there's times, and this is a tough one. You know, I've had health challenges in my life. Some of you guys have too. We pray for good health. That's a great prayer. But what if we prayed, God, could you be honored more in my life if you gave me some health challenges? I'm willing to give back my great health if it's going to honor you more for me to maybe be weak and you show your strength in my weakness. You know, there's times that maybe you work hard to get a new job. You know, you work your way up, maybe you had to go to school for a job, and you're there, and you're thankful, and you're saying, God, thank you for this job, but we think, wow, this is great, and I love it, and everything's good about it, but, you know, do we have open hands where what if God wants you to maybe be there for a short time and take you somewhere else, maybe somewhere where you can tell people about Christ? You know, are you willing to give back to God whatever He gives to you? You know, we plead for our children. Some of us have kids that maybe never got quite on track. Or maybe they've really gone astray. And it's good to pray for them. I don't want to discourage you. You know, be faithful in praying for your kids, but we need to entrust them with the Lord. Along with praying, God, will you help them and bring them back and get them to a good place? Maybe we just need to also release them in faith and say, God, they belong to you. They're not even mine. God, I entrust what you've given me back to you. Be honored in their life, God, by doing what you want to do in your timing. And then we realize this final lesson, guys, this final big idea here from Hannah today. Trusting the Lord means receiving his blessings. It means receiving his blessings. God wants to bless his children. Eli prays for Hannah and Elkanah, and he asks God to give them children, and it replaces, in a sense, I mean, they can't really replace, you know, a child, but they're blessed with all these other children because they just selflessly gave Samuel to Eli to serve God. In 1 Samuel 2:21, it says, "And the Lord blessed Hannah. She conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord." Look what happens here. I mean, if you're somebody who walks with the Lord and you're trusting God, and the greatest joy you can have is knowing your children walk with God. I mean, Samuel is not there with them in their home, but she's got the joy for the rest of her life knowing my son walks with God for all of her life because she has faithfully entrusted this boy to the Lord. You know, God is so gracious and so generous whenever we trust him and cry out to him. And I'm not telling you like some televangelists would tell you that, you know, if you guys would, you know, send your check for $500 to this P.O. box and we're going to pray over this handkerchief and you wear it to Walmart and you're never going to get the coronavirus. That is not what I am saying. You don't get to dictate God's blessing and neither do I, right? God is in charge. He's God and we're not. But he does bless his children. He does, and he wants you to take him at his word that he will bless you. He will bless you. I like the Apostle Paul's wording in Ephesians 3:20 that the Lord's blessing is so much more than we can even ask or imagine. It's according to his power that is at work within you, that he works in your life, and that he does miracles in your life, and that he blesses you. What a blessing that we've got the Spirit of God working in our lives. That's a great prayer. God, don't give me what I'm asking for. You bless me however you want to according to your power in Christ Jesus that is working within me. That's a great prayer. You know, God so often has something so much better in mind than what you're praying for. But we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for the blessings we have. We need to entrust those things to him. We need to understand that his blessing is in keeping with his word. It's in keeping with his character. It's in keeping with him being glorified in your life. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will supply all of your needs." He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He will do it. His word said it. You can believe him. You can take him at his word. So this Mother's Day, I want to ask God to help all of us to be more like Hannah today. I need to be more like Hannah today. I want to have that kind of faith. I want you guys to have that kind of faith. So I want to ask you. I want to ask you today, will you take time today? Will you take time today to go to the Lord in prayer? And whatever's got you on a chain, whatever has got you on a leash, whether that's sin that's never been dealt with, whether that's some brokenness and some hurt or some jealousy or whatever it has got you tied up that you're not walking in joy with Jesus Christ today and believing him and taking him at his word, will you go to him in prayer today and cry out to him and trust him? Take him at his word. He is going to do a work in your life. He is going to do it. God is going to work in your life according to his greatness and his goodness. Entrust yourself to him today. Maybe for the first time, entrust yourself to Christ today. Receive God's forgiveness, his abundance, his blessing. Receive it with thanksgiving. Let it bring praise to your lips and joy to your life. Guys, I'm going to close in prayer, and the worship team is going to come back up and lead us in another song. But I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I believe in answered prayer. I pray before every service that God is going to bring who He wants to bring, whether it's in person or online, to hear from Him, to hear His Word, for the Holy Spirit to work in their life. And I believe He answers that. And I believe you've heard this for a reason today. I believe I've heard this for a reason today because I need to. God wants to draw you into a more intimate relationship with Him all the time. Trust Him for that. Cry out to Him today. Believe His Word today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, You are so good and so good to us, Lord, and we thank You for all of Your blessings. And God, just it's on my mind today. Thank You for moms. Thank You for the sacrificial love of moms. Thank You for the prayers. Thank You for the godly influence, Lord. Thank You for the forgiveness after forgiveness after forgiveness for their kids, Lord. Thank You that our moms model so much of You to us, Lord. We're just so thankful. And God, I know there's folks like me who there's things that I need set free from, God, and there's hurts and things that I need to just come to You with my deepest needs and take You up at Your invitation, God, to draw near to You, to give You my burdens, and to have You set me free of those things. God, give each of us today the measure of faith we need, I pray, to receive that joy from You, to let the sadness go, to let the doubts and fears go, to let the sin go, and to receive, God, to just lay every burden down today, God, and walk in newness of life, walk in joy in the Spirit, walk in peace and love and hope today. And God, I know that as we do this, You're going to glorify Yourself in your life. You're going to help us to know Jesus better. You're going to help us, God, to walk out Your plan by Your Spirit for Your glory. Lord, we love You. We praise You. We thank You for the cross. We thank You that all Your promises are true because of what Christ did to redeem us. It's in His name we pray, Lord.